Okay, we will now call to order the August 13, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. I have reviewed the minutes of July 16, 2013 and have entered them. Well, do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's proceedings?
Yes, did you want me to announce the regular meeting agenda now, or did you want to do the Biketober Fest?
I guess we'll do the Biketober Fest thing first.
Okay.
All right, well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach are going to be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, the first case we have is Biker Design, 504 Main Street. An appeal of denial of participation in the master plan outside activities. Anyone here for the respondent? Biker Design.
I believe that's the same business for both cases, just two different addresses. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you state your name, please?
Pardon me?
Can you state your name for the record?
First name is Tom. Last name is Recel, R-E-C-E-L.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, before we proceed, let me ask the city, what was the nature of the deficiency here that culminated in this gentleman being unapproved?
Both businesses were not open the allotted 250 days, 6 hours a day prior to the application deadline, sir.
Well, how many days were they?
Less than 250, Dan.
Okay, well, if it's 249, I'm going to tell me wins right now.
No,
so,
sir.
So unless we can give me something more specific than that.
No, it was in the 220s or less than that.
Okay. Now, as I read the... Okay, Tony, what exactly am I looking for as far as the criteria beyond what I'm seeing here on the agenda? What I'm reading on the agenda says businesses must be open and operating for a minimum of 250 days, 6 hours per day, during the one-year period immediately preceding the application date. Is that all I need to know?
That's all you need to know for this. You have the criteria that you evaluated on, which is the fault of the applicant in creating the condition. In this situation, it's a business needing to stay open, so that's and that's A and B is about the same. It's the fault of the applicant or the business principal. And in any sense, the business understands its need to stay open. That's a requirement. And then the gravity of the violation, which in this situation is the number of days, is the principal condition. It creates competitive advantage, and it's a detriment to the Main Street development and sustenance of Main Street. And the prior opportunity to remedy, it's a daily decision to open or remain open for the required time period. There's a continuous opportunity to remedy the violation throughout each year, each season. The inspector will testify that they've gone and in fact, I'll let the inspector tell you what he finds when he goes to the business.
Okay, well, where does my discretion fall in here? What, does it say something about exigent circumstances, or what does it say?
No time type of like
my discretion.
The special magistrate may waive compliance with the provision and grant participation upon determination that just cause exists for noncompliance.
Does it define just cause?
I do not believe there's a just cause definition, sir.
All right. Well, let's hear from our inspector. Mr. Inspector?
Yes, Mr. Vakeldra, there were several days where I do the morning business checks and code officer Eddie Lopez does the evening business checks. And what we do is we check daily. Whether it's open or closed. There's been several times, many times, where 504 has not been open at all. And then the 777, we came to a point where there was a month, a time where that weren't open, lights were off, open signs were off, doors were locked, and there may have been a sign on the door that stated, go around the back or the side. And if you did that, there were times where that wasn't open.
Okay. What was the date of his application, since apparently that starts the 1 year that we start counting days?
I don't have that information, and Ms. Miles, I believe, had that information. I'm not sure why she stepped out.
Mr. Russell, do you know when did you make your application?
It had to be sometime in May, Your Majesty.
Pardon?
I think it's usually towards the end of May. Maybe?
No, it's more of a beginning of the May, but I can try to find it.
So then we're supposed to determine whether or not he was open for a minimum of 250 days. So from between May of 2012 and May of 2013.
I have the date, Your Honor, here, 5-8-2013.
It's May 8th, sorry. That's the application deadline, sorry.
Okay,
so that was the
question
deadline.
Here is whether he was open for 250 days between May 8, 2012 and May 8, 2013.
Correct.
And your tally for that period comes to about 220?
In the 777, the rear of the building was open, but not as a permitted use. 504 wasn't even open, the 220. These are tallies conducted by the code enforcement staff. Two checks a day. I might have missed that part. Sorry, I left.
Okay. And what is the name of the business, Biker Design?
The Bolt license is under Biker Design, Your Honor.
Okay. And who is Ergen Russell?
That's me.
Okay.
Ergen Thomas Russell is my full name.
Did you own this property as of May 2012?
Yes, I did. Both properties.
So you own both properties continuously for the full year of the period that we're talking about?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, they say you fell short. What say you? Let's focus on 504 first.
Can we still focus on 77 first and go to 504?
It seems like they're all kind of lumped together,
okay.
As far as the city is concerned.
Both properties, obviously, I owned it for over 10 years. And we have participated in Bike Week and Bike Oktoberfest master plans for many years, probably over 10 or 15 years. The 777 Main Street was open over 6 days a week until February 1st of 2013. Over 6 days a week, because Harley Davidson was also part of the building and they were open every day. Minimum 6 days a week. I can get some testification from some evidence from there. So we are also open. We are in the same building. We share the same building. They moved out of the building. Then immediately after that, is Bike Week started it, and Harley Davidson moved out of the property in February 1st of 2013. Then Bike Week, we are there, and sometimes in April, that's when this sign at the door issue came about, that we close it because we occupy the property for, I have 10 to 15 employees every day they're in the property.
You have 10 to 15 employees there on the property
every day.
777 Main Street.
That's correct.
Well, where are they if these guys aren't seeing them?
They're towards the back of the building.
You familiar with the back of the building?
I've been back through there. I actually been back through there. Looking for people. I was just there yesterday and found nobody in the front. I came, walked in. Nobody was in there. I walked all the way through the back, and I talked to
Madeline.
She was in the office. I had to knock on the door to get her in the office, and then there was a male guy that was in the back. He's the one that usually covers the 504, and he had to go to 504, which was closed. This was just yesterday. Friday.
For clarification, sir, there's a wholesale establishment being run out of the back of the store that ships T-shirts throughout the nation, or international, I believe. That is not a permitted use in the district. I think you did get a list of permitted uses and the RDB2. What these two businesses, 504 and 777, are licensed for is retail sales and service. That's a storefront that's open every day, 6 hours a day, 250 days a year prior to the event application deadline. It wasn't open as a retail establishment. There was a shipping business going out of the back, and the only way to access this, and Officer Garcia will testify, is you walk around the building, you go in through an overhead warehouse door, and find somebody. The lights are out in the retail establishment. It has not been open until he was cited, and now it's been open pretty much consistently since then.
But it was open in the same manner that is open today for up until, May 1st or sometimes in April, because, Bike Week was, at the time happened until April. Then Harley was also present with the doors open, along with ours, until February 1st, 6 days a week. I mean, that's well over 252 days, Your Honor.
Harley is a separate business. Harley is a separate business, separate suite.
Right.
They're not applying for the master plan. Biker Design is, and the use that they were operating is not the use that they are licensed for that allows them to participate in the master plan. Retail sales and service.
Why isn't that the end of the conversation?
It's not, Your Honor.
It's harsh.
We also have a retail operation in the front.
Pardon?
We also have a retail operation. Harley was on left-hand side of the building.
The inspector says he walks through the front. He doesn't see anything. He walks around the back, walks through an overhead door, finds somebody, sees a guy that apparently slips on down to 504 now and then. Probably do the same thing, so it sounds as though you've got your... I don't know, I guess an internet sales business or something like that.
No, we don't.
In any event, it's not a permitted use at those two locations. It's supposed to be retail sales. And
it
the
is.
Retail sales aspect apparently is not open for the public.
It is retail sales, Your Honor. And we prepare product to support not only the warehouse, not only the retail operation in 777 Main Street, but also the destination Daytona. We manufacture the product, we decorate the product. Product goes out to a printer, comes back, is separated. Part of it goes into the showroom in the 777 Main Street. Part of it goes to Destination Daytona. And bigger part of it, another 40 to 50% of that product, gets allocated to go to the different retail events around the country. That's how our business is printed.
If somebody walks through the front door at 77 Main Street there.
It is open.
And there's product right there for them.
There's product in the showroom.
There's salespeople there to attend to them.
Salesperson is in the back and watching it, and they can attend it. We have a camera, Your Honor, and the person is there. A person was there prior to all these years for 10, 12 years. Like, we operated the same way.
You recognize the intent of the ordinance is that there's actually a retail establishment open there for business to be patronized by those who should come in off the street, as opposed to just phoning in orders and having product shipped to them out the back of the building.
That's not what we do there, Your Honor. We don't go out and take orders and ship it wholesale out of there. I don't have a wholesale operation. I have a small internet operation, but the majority of our business is retail all around the country.
Okay. With regard to 77 Main Street, I keep hearing Harley moved out, which... I guess it sounds as though Harley perhaps actually conducted the retail.
No, sir. They're two separate suites. If you look at it's the old Corbin building. You're familiar with it, real big. The west side of the building was dedicated to the Harley-Davidson retail store.
Okay.
The east side of the building was dedicated to Biker Design. Harley's not applying for the master plan. Harley's not involved. It's a separately demised suite. Doesn't matter. Biker Design at 777 is requesting participation based on that criteria.
It's the same participation that has been requested for over 10 years, and it's been approved in the same manner.
Okay. Did the city by any chance forewarn Mr. Russell that he was running the risk of not being eligible for Biketoberfest?
Hector did contact him and had a meeting with him. I believe he talked to you.
Sometimes in May, afterwards they contacted him.
Since then, they have been open every day. 504 and 777. Now, like I said, Friday I went down there. 504 was not open. I went down to 777. I walked in the front. Nobody in the whole front. I walked to the back, went into the next back room. Nobody was there. I walked to the, continued to the back. I got a glimpse of a guy on the phone. I spoke to him. He called the woman in the office. She came out and spoke to me. I said, where's the guy at 504? She said he had to come over here. She sent them back over to 504. And I said that somebody's got to be there at all, at the times stated on the
So you've seen the city's inspectors coming over the course of the year. And you know why they're there.
This, Your Honor, I've only been aware this was a problem in after May of 2013. It was never a problem before.
Why do you think they keep roaming around your property?
Your Honor, I wasn't really there every day looking at it and, you know, talking with the inspectors. One time the inspector came and we talked about the electricity issues, which we fixed it, and nothing was ever said.
That was a separate violation.
It was a separate violation.
I cited him for all the outlets around the property that were all damaged, which they corrected.
Just as further clarification, Mr. Russell also was the operator of the Biker Design that was formerly located where Massey was on Beach Street that has since been torn down. And we did have the issue relative to the 250-day, 6 hours a day at that location as well. So the regulation is pretty well known.
But we also had a person present in on the Massey property.
After
actually, it was a veteran was located there for well over 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm. After the days came into question, that guy was there every day.
All right. Well, let's talk about 504 Main Street. Someone describe that building for me.
504 is just east of the Davidson Sons jewelry place.
Humphreys.
Yeah. So, and that place is just a glass front. The glass doors are always closed. They're open when they're there, but there were several times, months in the past, that were always closed.
All right. Is there business being conducted there? Do we know?
There's a man in there. That is the one that's from 777, and he does sell T-shirts. I haven't seen him. I know he's in there. He stays in there, and the doors are open.
I mean, are there retail sales being conducted
there? I haven't seen any.
They have a business tax receipt. It was formerly called T-Shirt Paradise, also when Mr. Russell was involved. The two women, but actually one specific woman was there every single day from literally sun up till extremely late at night. When she vacated and it became Biker Design, they have a valid business tax receipt for retail sales and service. It was open, and then over the last, I'd say, year and a half, maybe a little bit longer, it's rarely been open until Mr. Russell was cited. And now it's been open according to the code officers.
Okay, and how many days are we estimating 504 Main Street was actually operating?
Less than 777.
That's definitely less than 777 Main Street was.
777 is 220 or less?
220 or less.
All right, what say you with regard to 504 Main Street?
504 Main Street, Your Honor, was approved for Bike Week. Obviously, there were enough days to allocate 504 to be open during the Bike Week.
During the past Bike Week?
This past Bike Week in March.
Okay,
so that means sometimes in the application was put into place in December. So obviously 250-some day rule was satisfied during that time.
Okay.
Since December, January, February, March, and April, I can get people to testify, it was open. I allocated the place, I leased the place to somebody during March. Okay, they're supposed to occupy the property all the way, year-round type of business. But apparently, as soon as the Bike Week was over, sometimes in April, they decided to leave. So that building was empty and not really being operated for 30 days, approximately prior to the application date of May 8. So May 8 till about April 8 for 30. That's 30 days I didn't have anybody to put into the place. And I didn't know this gentleman was not going to occupy the property until I found out. Then we put the application in, and I became aware that that we weren't really allocating anybody in there. I'm also, just for your information, at the time I was getting radiation treatment. I'm also a cancer patient. And so some of the things really wasn't communicated to me properly.
The application deadline for Bike Week is actually directly after Biketoberfest, so it's the beginning of November. So the submittal deadline, the application deadline, is much before the event.
Okay. Well, it looks to me like you failed to comply. I have a hard time getting around that. I understand what you're describing as far as the use of the property, but I'm also hearing that's not even a permitted use. So that doesn't even matter. Sounds as though you have something of a shell game going on back and forth here between 777 and 504, but that's not my business. As long as you have the doors open for retail operation, whatever. You can shuttle people all over Main Street. I doubt you're the only one doing it. I guess my question here is, and I'll just put it to you point blank, what am I supposed to consider your just cause for noncompliance? Give me some explanation for your failure to comply.
Your Honor, number one, I don't have a whole...
You articulate some plausible explanation as why, and you know that you are dealing in an environment down there that is as hypersensitive as can possibly be. So, and I understand staying open 250 days a year down there is tough. I understand that. But it's not my purview to start changing the rules and increasing or decreasing the number of days that are permitted. So, what's your just cause for noncompliance?
Your Honor, number one, I don't have a wholesale operation from the property, period. I have 15 to 20 employees. Let me try to explain our business. Our business is to attend the retail operations or retail motorcycle shows around the country. I just flew from Sturgis last night to be present here today. So I was in Sturgis. So I take my employees, with the exception of two, three people, I leave it there in Daytona Beach, and I go to the different special events around the country. Especially, it starts around May until about August, September time frame. Then we're back here for Oktoberfest. So as far as the 777 Main Street, I strongly believe that we are there. We are conducting a business. We're contributing to the economy of Daytona Beach and also economy to this country. You know, we're employing people.
Are you trying to tell me you're conducting retail sales from 777 Main Street?
Yes, sir.
Forget the 250 days a year. For whatever days you're open, you're conducting retail sales out
on 777 Main Street.
So I can walk in off the street and buy myself a T-shirt or whatever it is that you sell.
You can't walk in there today, Your Honor.
I can walk through the front door.
You're open 9:30, 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock every day. Some days till 6 o'clock. That showroom is open. Now, at the time, again, from Bike Week ended until about, you know, for a one-month period, yes, we did have the lights off. We put a sign saying, we are open. Whether we are in the back or in the front, we can cater to the customers. So that was my fault. I'll take the blame for that 30-day period. But obviously, the operation was there to start with, you know, previous years, when Harley was also present in the place. So why wasn't that denied if that was I made a mistake? Your Honor, especially the 777 Main Street concern. I have people there. I have, you know, they'll be here. You know, you're welcome to come over there on Thursday. I have everybody at work. They're just flying back from Sturgis today. And I have two people in the property every day. One person looked at the phones. She also attends the front warehouse.
Okay, and city, one more time. Explain to me the noncompliance here. They don't have, in your estimation, a retail operation. First off, as I understand it, it sounds like we're almost in agreement that there were about 30 days that they weren't in. Weren't doing
for 30 business. Days, the lights were off.
Telling me
yes.
That's his fault, that's his mistake, whatever. You're telling me there's not a retail operation going on there anyway.
I could just testify that the times that I went by in the mornings.
And how many times would you estimate that would be?
That'd be every day for 220 times.
Okay.
Or a little more. Right. Definitely more at 504, they were closed.
Closed. And what do you mean by closed? What is closed?
Closed is doors are locked. There's many times
during
where
business hours.
The open sign, the lights were off. The lights inside were off. And that's it. Basically, if the doors are locked and you can't get in, they're closed.
And what time of the day are you typically by?
I'm going there anytime from 11 to 12:30.
So well after their opening hours.
Correct.
And there's another check
a
day.
And there's another check. There's two checks a day. The other check is anytime from 5 to 6.
Okay. And same is true for 504 Main Street?
That's correct.
Last word, Mr. Russell. Give it your best shot. These folks are telling me you're not open when you're supposed to be open for the required number of days. You are trying to explain to me how there's all sorts of activity that apparently is eluding them. And so I've got a couple inspectors under oath telling me that's not the case. So you explain to me that what about your business is so unique or so different that should overcome their testimony to the effect that you're not open and you don't appear to be open. And unfortunately, down there on Main Street, you do have to appear to be open. Even if you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, you have to appear to be open. So there you go. Give it your best shot.
So for 30 days, I'm not open, Your Honor. I wasn't open. You know, just like you said, I admit it. You know, I don't really have all I can do is just, you know, get the people to testify that they're open, and you know, I can prove my water bills and Federal Express guy, and I have testified from UPS guy saying he's there every day, he's delivering product there.
We're talking about customers walking in through the front door, looking at product, being confronted by friendly salespeople, buying stuff and taking it back out the front door. It doesn't sound like you're doing that.
Your Honor, I have a very hard time understanding why this could be 220 days on 777 Main Street, especially.
Well,
I just don't understand it.
I'm understanding a lot about Main Street, to be honest with you. It's all way over my head, but in any event. All right, based on the testimony of our inspectors, I'm going to go ahead and deny the appeal as to 504 Main Street and 777 Main Street as well. Good luck to you.
Okay.
Case number one on our agenda, Burgoyne Properties Incorporated is in compliance. Case number two, HFBB LLC.
That's in compliance as of August 9th, 2013.
Case number three, Tudya and Kaival LLC, DBA Heritage Inn. Have we resolved something?
Yes, Your Honor, we have.
Then come forward. Okay, Counselor, if you just state your name for the record.
Morning, Your Honor. Dennis Baer, representing the property owners on item number 14.
All right, this is case number SMG 081344, Edward C. Gillespie and Patricia Dietrich, H&W. Do you agree the violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, Your Honor, we do.
All right. Then I find the respondent in non-compliance. How much time to come into compliance, city?
One day.
Pardon?
One day.
Well, let's be a little more generous than that. Unless we stipulate.
Your Honor, one of the issues.
We stipulate to a day?
Your Honor, one of the issues they're requiring is the cessation of the Internet listing. The one expires on its own merits on August 18th. My client's not taking any new bookings that would be in violation of the ordinance. She's not been doing that for a couple of weeks now. And one issue we try to work out with the city is she had taken a booking in advance for Biketoberfest and wanted to see if that could be honored, and staff indicated they couldn't give any leeway, and certainly I don't think you have any authority to do that under the city's code. So that's what we're trying to hammer out over the last couple of days. My client will not allow any additional short-term rentals. We could have a week to get the listings off the Internet, and that would be sufficient for us.
Okay. So he's suggesting a week. Is that palatable?
Yes.
Seven times a day. I understand that part. But
yes, 1 week, 7 days.
1 week. All right. What is today's date? The 13th? Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by August 20, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, returning to case three, Tudya and Kaival LLC, DBA Heritage Inn. Not seeing anyone have on behalf of the respondent, what's in the city?
Just 1 second, get myself back in order.
Vakelja, that's on number three. And that would be, I won't say the corporation name since the names are difficult, but that's Heritage Inn at 1100 South Ridgewood Avenue. And it's before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector on the case is president, and the initial inspector was Eddie Lopez, and aiding him is now Vicki Langford. In this case, the city is looking for a fine. And just to reestablish for the record, the respondent was first notified in March 1, 2013. The property was reinspected on 4-3-2013. He was not in compliance. Notice was sent to him and the LLC. Sent to him is the Mr. Patel, I mean, as the registered agent. The hearing was scheduled for 5-14, and during the pending this hearing schedule was inspected twice on 5-3 and 5-8. There was no note of progress. The 5-14 hearing was rescheduled to June 11th. During that period, still pending hearing, it was reinspected again on June 7th. There was no noted progress. On June 11th, the case was heard by the magistrate. And Mr. Patel was present. And you had given him until August 7th to comply. And although the city had asked for next cutoff and was pretty much agreed that with some hard work it could be done in next cutoff, you expressed to Mr. Patel that you would give him the additional time and with a great expectation and of his compliance. The property was reinspected on 7-15, and it was again no noted progress, or that's probably not a fair statement. The better statement may be that it was very minor band-aid type of work that had begun. And the staff had need to go out to the property again on August 6th as a result of ceiling collapse. When they went on, well, I guess that was August 7th, but they went on August 6th, and again, there was no significant progress. But let me get those dates correct here. Because the report is basically this. The most significant change that has occurred on the property is what occurred on August 6th. And I said 6th, but I'll recheck that date, and I believe it's actually August 9th. I think that may be an error. But that's where the ceiling of one of the units collapsed, and a handicapped individual in the room was injured. The nature of the repairs that our inspectors have seen have been the type where, such as where a ceiling stain indicating water damage resulted instead in a paint over and no major repair. So it was consistent with the types of damage that the inspectors had seen. The continued lack of involvement of Mr. Patel was, in the opinion of staff, has now created a life safety issue with this property. It's opinion of the code enforcement that the property exemplifies the definition of blight. The most significant change, as we had said, is very little change or almost none, only touch-ups. The city is requesting that Ms. Patel be fined $500 per day, capped at $25,000 based on our maximums. And although we would typically ask for this fine to start today, we will ask for the fine to start at the date of required compliance being August 8th. I think you gave an August 7th compliance date, if I remember correctly. And by doing that, we will do that in lieu of asking for administrative fees for the time that our inspectors have spent going back and forth for the inspections. Mr. Patel had called our inspectors out on occasions to come and inspect with having done very little to make the necessary changes for compliance. as noted from the inspector, Mr. Lopez, as well as Ms. Langford, they both have noted it would be the city's position that to continue to hear about the lack of progress on this property while citizen safety is involved would be nonproductive. The owner has shown has shown little interest in making the repairs, and so we would like this running fine to be placed. And, of course, he would have an opportunity to come in. If a diligent legal and take care of this, he'll have that opportunity to come in and seek possibly some relief or lien review.
So what work has been done?
And I'll turn to Ms. Langford and ask her to address you.
The only work that's taking place there is again, Band-Aids. With a cracked soffit, they come in with putty, cover it up, and paint it instead of replacing it. Where there's a water stain, instead of fixing the roof to take care of the problem, they paint over, and then it rains, and the stain comes back again. Everything that's been done there to this point has been just a minor try to fix it up for now, and that's only a few things. And as you can see in the pictures, what they do try to fix is not even done in a professional manner.
Are the smoke alarms operating?
No.
No?
No.
Is the property occupied?
Yes. As of Friday, the ceiling kicked in on a resident.
And the photos of that,
you know. I understand something you said during your presentation, something about waiving administrative fees or something like that. What are you talking about?
No, we don't really have a practice of asking for administrative costs on the front end when we're requesting a fine. There was a thought of staff to request the $500 administrative cost for the repeated inspections at the property. What I suggested instead was, because we're asking for a running fine of $500 per day, that just starting the fine earlier would have the same effect.
Cap it at $25,000?
Yes, that's based upon the review of the most recent tax roll and the value of the property based on our maximum our formula for maximization.
Find the respondent the sum of $500 per day commencing August 8, 2013 and continuing each day thereafter until such time as the property is in compliance or the total amount of the fine has reached the sum of $25,000. Is there anything else?
Nope, nothing further.
Very good.
Mr. Kelcher.
Case number 4, Cardinal Motel Florida LLC is in compliance. Case number 5, Del Air Florida LLC is in compliance. Case number 6, Linda Jones. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Now, this property is before you, Mr. Vakeldra, for imposition of fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in noncompliance and is asking for a $75 per day fine.
Okay. We had motor vehicle, as I understand the violation, we had inoperable motor vehicles, broken windows, damaged roof. Has anything been done?
Mrs. Stinson stepping up to advise.
Thank you. Good morning. As of yesterday, the junk vehicles have been removed. However, the broken windows still exist, the dilapidated roof still exists. And yes, the city is asking for $75 per day to be kept in tent.
Okay. All right. Not seeing the respondent, and based upon our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $75 per day, commencing August 8, 2013, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 7, Randall K. Nealand. Anyone here for the respondent?
Whatever happened, I needed a copy of this.
Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Kenneth Randall Nealand. Yes, I did.
Mr. Kelger, this is case number 7, and this is the property at 145 Kingston Avenue. And this is before you for us to determine the compliance date. When we were here previously, we were not able to have any certainty as to how much time he would need. But it's been determined from the inspector that 60 days is what would be necessary for him to handle these violations.
Let's see, Mr. Nealon.
You extend me 60 days?
Yes, 60
more.
Days.
60 days or more. Well, I was hoping to get what's on my building permits.
Case.
I have pulled a roofing permit, a cut tree down permit, and a personal permit. I have 3 permits to get all the work done. Mr. Sensen was there yesterday, and he will tell you that the place is looking very nice and very good. I hope he will, anyway. And all changes, it's going to come up to be the nicest house in the street, probably inside of 6 months, and I have 180 days on each of my permits. So I was hoping to at least have that. It's kind of hurts kind of financially, but it has to be done, and I am doing so, as he, I hope, will confirm.
Okay, do we have all the permits that we need?
Yes, we do.
Has there been progress made?
Yes, there is.
What do you base your 60 days on?
The amount of work that he's already accomplished, which is quite a bit. He still has quite a bit of interior work to do, but the exterior is looking very well.
All right. He's suggesting he needs more time. Does that cause you any heartache?
No, sir.
All right, how about we do this? I'll give you 6. How much time are you looking for?
Well, I've used up 10 days on my building permits, and it's for 180 on my personal one. Okay,
setting aside the life of the permit, how long do you think it'll take you to finish everything?
Well, short on funds, so we'd like to ask for 180 days minus the 10 days that are already used. So make that 170 days. If that's possible. And he knows I do nice work, and so do my contractors. It's actually, it's better than wood. I could have used this regular wood and everything. I use pressure treated on everything, all quality materials, all quality workers and contractors.
Mr. McKelvey, if I can just, speaking for the inspectors, we discussed this. I don't know if he was clear on understanding your question. The request of the city is for 60 days, but if he wants additional time, he's willing to agree to additional time to a total of 90 days. But the inspector's not in agreement to 180 days. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, then why don't we do this? I'm going to continue this matter again. I'm going to continue it to our October 8th, 2013 meeting.
Okay.
At that point, I'm going to establish a compliance date.
Okay.
As long as they're satisfied that you're making good, steady progress,
which I
you can convince me you're still going to need more time, then I'll consider the additional time. Fair enough?
Greatly appreciated. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to continue the determination of the compliance date to our October 8, 2013 meeting. And, you know, like I said, as long as they're satisfied with the progress, city's happy, I'm happy. They start griping about things that slow down all of a sudden, then it's a different conversation.
Understood.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Keep an eye on it. It's going to be pretty.
Okay, case number 8, Taub Properties LLC is in compliance. Case number 9, John G. Taylor.
That's in compliance with August 12th.
And just for our new cases, Mark Petrain. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Sure. Mark Petrain.
Can you raise your hand, please? Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is true, simple, truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Petrain, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
That I worked on the property.
Without permits.
Oh, no. No, it was, I stopped working on it.
Okay. Was there a time when you were working on it without permits? That preceded your stopping to work?
No. The only thing I did on the property was secure it. Because what happened was I fired a contractor. And I stopped all the work. Then, I haven't done anything on the property for months. I was trying to buy the house next door.
Well, let's back up. Let's hear from the city. What's the nature of the violation?
Mr. Vakelja, as indicated, the violation is working without demo, building, plumbing, and electrical permits. This is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia, and the city will ask him to recite the facts.
At the time of arrival, when I got the complaint, you can see from the pictures how the property was from the beginning. They actually pulled a permit, but it was just for siding. Removal of siding. This is the original how they were. Then as we got down months later, excessive amount. I mean, you'll see the pictures where it was pretty much gutted out. Both permits at this time, I just found out that a demo permit was pulled, but both permits, as of now, they're both expired. I spoke to the gentleman a few times on the phone, asked him when we're going to get a licensed contractor to continue the building. I guess he's had problems in getting one. They had one. I guess they fired him. And this is a continual complaint where it's been left like this. I had to get them to clean up the debris. We've had transient issues. We had police issues out there with the transients removing them. Then at a time, I wasn't even allowed. I matter of fact, had to post the property because the letter came back returned. The property next door to this has been purchased, and there's been a feud between property owners, I guess, both of them. So, and now it's a standstill, so that's why we just sent it here to the magistrate.
Okay, so the nature of the violation is what? Doing remodeling without a permit?
Doing extensive amount without the permit.
Or remodeling the...
Succeeding, the yeah. The, correct, yeah.
Okay, do you acknowledge that? Did it work well beyond the demolition permit that you had?
I had the general contract to do it. Then I paid him $700 to start getting whatever permits he needed. And the guy turned out to be real bad news. That's the best way I could put it. And he was even using my car. He demanded my car back. Got my car back with a broken windshield. That's still my problem, my business. He wanted another $1,000 from me to get the permits. So I just stopped everything at that point.
right. Well, I think it's pretty clear that we didn't have the permit. So with that, yeah. I'll find the respondent in noncompliance. What is it that you're looking for in order for this gentleman to come into compliance?
We're looking for renewal of our permits and continuing of the repairs with a compliance date, and if not, then to have it demolished. And you have to, he has to pull a demo permit.
All right. It's your property. It's your call.
Yeah,
What's your plan?
I worked it out with Carlene, and I'm in the process of getting the building permits, and I'm going to move there because the front house really isn't bad.
Okay.
You know, so
all right. So how much time are you suggesting should be needed to come into compliance?
The work.
Hang on a second.
I'm sorry.
I'd say 30 days permits in hand, and then progress note, 90 days.
Fine.
That's more generous than I do. But
with a compliance date?
All right, so hang on a second. You're saying that he ought to be able to get his permits within 30 days?
Correct.
And then I'm thinking along 60 days for him to come back here and then us make an intelligent decision about how long it's going to take him to come into compliance. I assume he's not going to come into compliance in 60 days.
No.
Okay. All right, what say Mr. Petrain?
That's fine.
Okay. Then I will order the respondent to obtain his permits. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And I will further order that we will continue the determination of the compliance date on the overall construction until our meeting of October 8, 2013. And at that time, hopefully you're well into it, and you will be able to give us some sort of reasonable prediction as to when you expect to be done.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, good enough.
Okay.
And you've got you obviously have a neighbor who's dissatisfied, so do what you can to keep the peace.
All right.
We can be more cooperative as long as things are quiet and pleasant.
Right.
Things get nasty and ugly, then we have to intervene.
All right.
Well, I've just recently been purchased, so I'm fixing those up.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Case number 11, Michael and Mary Lou Sales. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
The respondent's sent in a letter.
Ms. Vakelja, this is... Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I'll just recall here. This is the property at 422 Old Trail Road.
They're now in compliance, but task will find if we're still doing that.
This is the property at, I indicated, 422 Old Trail Road. The inspector is Michael P. Fitzgerald. The property's brought before you for being in non-conforming use of a short-term rental and having no occupational license or for rental, so no rental lock license. The respondent sent in a letter, which I will go ahead and hand to you. The position of the city at this point is that the property is now in compliance. This is a situation where we would need for you to make a finding of noncompliance and then compliance so that we would have the effect of the repeat violation for the future violations.
Okay, so what am I hearing? It's now in compliance?
Yes. But we would like for you to make the finding of noncompliance and then the acknowledgement of compliance so that we can have the benefit of the statutory effect of the repeat violation, what we formally call the will fine.
So this property now has the occupational license that's required?
It did get the occupational license and went through the rental program.
It did get the occupational license and the rental program, and he said he had changed his ad to state the yearly rental only, and he signed an affidavit to that effect, and it's downstairs with permits and licensing. He also said that he didn't understand how to change the price on the top, so he didn't touch it. But he said to me that I have an affidavit stating that he stopped renting it by the week, and he hasn't rented it since the day he signed the affidavit.
And that was done back in April?
Yes.
And he was supposed to correct the situation by June. So it sounds as though it was corrected.
That was a statement, but my computer, I couldn't pull this up again, although I did have the affidavit signed. And he said that he added the verbiage, yearly rental only.
Mr. Vakelja, just for some clarification, there's a witness who had some concern. She has an iPad, and she just pulled it up. It appears to be indicating at least the current ad was updated as of August 13th. Now, whether or not it has the correct language or not is what Mr. Fitzgerald is looking at now to just bring some satisfaction to this witness.
If you would please step forward, give us your name and be sworn.
My name is Amanda Jones, and I'm the Ocean Dunes neighborhood with the Ocean Dunes neighborhood, and that's the neighborhood it's in.
Can you raise
your hand, please? Right hand.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, and you said you're with Ocean Dunes
Neighborhood Association.
And 422 Old Trail Road is in there somewhere?
Yes. It's actually four doors down from me. And, I mean, it was rented about a month ago.
It was?
Yes, it was rented about a month ago. And that's why I keep sending these emails, and we keep asking these questions. And, you know, it has the calendar on here. It has everything on here. I don't understand why the city or the code officer cannot pull this up on his computer. I had no problem. I put the address in. It popped right up.
Why is it that you're pulling up? Because I'm not seeing it.
The visual website that he's advertising on.
A website that looks like it shows he still has something less than
right
annual rentals.
Mm-hmm.
I will just.
And it says per night, and you can go to the overview, you can go to the calendar, you can go to location, photos, everything, and it's still on here. It says a minimum of three nights. It's right here. Like
so, in other words, they're still advertising short term rentals. And I assume short-term rentals are prohibited.
By the LCC?
That's correct. Now, I think what being explained to me, and I'll ask him to speak further to you on this, Mr. Vakelja, the inspector's understanding from the owners that he doesn't know how to modify this website. So he's put information that says long-term rental only, which is a contradiction to everything else you see. And so that alteration apparently is not
the
sufficient.
The calendar was updated.
And I'll ask Mr. Fitzgerald to speak to that further.
The calendar was updated on 8/13. It's got 1 week rented in September, and then it's got from October then blocked off. But it was updated.
It shows that there's 1 week that's not, that's been cut out, whether...
That means it's rented.
Okay, that's
it's
what that
available.
Means.
It's
not available.
Sounds to me like he's still non-compliant.
He signed the affidavit, which is what I asked for, and he signed it in downstairs, him and his wife, and they both and they had it notarized.
An affidavit that said what?
That he would not rent by the week from the date of that affidavit, and that...
Sure, your thing.
Yeah, because I still don't know if that what that means.
It's been a while since I've rented a house by a gentleman, what you're talking about.
I see. See right here, it says we'll ask you Sunday. Okay, you can go to the counter, and you can see it's rented. 1 week in September, and then it's got
it's rented. Okay, well, go ahead and stand up and say it.
Okay. He's just got blocked, but he's got 1 week blocked in September. And that's when it was rented in August.
Right, all right, I have a date, which I thought would have been...
We have a neighbor that lives behind us that's here.
Okay, I think I've seen enough. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Please state your name and be sworn.
Karen Ricks, 419 Ocean Dunes Road.
Karen Ricks?
Ricks, R-I-C-K-S. I live directly I'm sorry.
I
do.
Thank you.
I live directly behind him. His backyard is very close to my kitchen, which I live in. And I have a calendar there. And I have marked on, and I did not bring it with me, but I have marked on my calendar the days that it has been rented out because people, the lights are on, I see the people in the backyard, and it is obvious that he has rented it in the last maybe 3 weeks. I'm sorry, I didn't bring my calendar with me.
All right. Well, it appears to me as though this property is still being held out for rental, short-term rentals at present. I don't know who's been in there. I don't know who's going to be in there. I don't know what the long-term plans are. But in any event, I would think that that the gentleman needs to take care of that website at a minimum. In any event, I find the respondent non-compliance. How much time to come into compliance?
Next cutoff.
I order the respondent to come into compliance by September 4, 2013, or we return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Case number 12, Joseph L. Owen. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Joseph L. Owen.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the provider is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Did you want to have a seat? We can have a microphone
please.
Brought to you. Okay.
Please.
Mr. Owen, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Find the respondent non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take to come into compliance?
Next cutoff.
Mr. Owen, the city is suggesting that you ought to be able to have these things corrected by September 4, 2013. What do you say to that?
Sir, if I could have maybe 30 days.
How about October
2, 2013? Yes, sir.
I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by October 2, 2013 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
When everything's done, be sure to call for your final inspection.
Yes, sir.
Case number 13, Richard L. and Mary Sue Curlin. Take your time.
I'm Richard L. Curlin.
Mary Sue Curlin.
And
raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Correct, yes.
Okay, do you folks agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, we're now aware of the violation.
Okay, and respondent non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondents to come into compliance?
They seem to drive it off of commercial property, so whenever whatever convenience, however the next
part of the day. All right, our inspector is suggesting you might be able to find this thing a new home by September 4th. What say y'all?
I have an attorney that is working on a variance application.
Okay.
And we request in 45 or 60 days. In order for the variance application to be worked on.
Okay, who's your attorney?
It is
Christine Hurdle.
Hurdle.
Mr. Kelcher?
Yeah.
I spoke with Ms. Hurdle, and in fact, when we spoke, when we clarified what the violation was and how it was determined, what she agreed that there was a violation, and she was going to check into the ability to get a variance. And she did follow up and check into that, and was determined that the violation is a Article 17 parking violation, and there's no variance eligibility for that. So there's no variance that's available. I don't know any other plans she may have, and I don't know if she had communicated with them since she found that information out. But according to the review of Ms. Miles and Ms. Miles' subsequent response, her response was that there was no variance available for Article 17.
Well, we're just learning of that right now. The only other thing that we've noticed in our neighborhood is we have RVs the same size that are enclosed in a fence. We would be thrilled to do that if that would be allowed.
So in other words, what you're trying to tell me is you want additional time in order to research whatever remedies you may have available to you. It could allow you to forego having to remove this from your property. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes,
you say?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
And so now the question is how much time you need to do that. So why don't we do this? Why don't I continue the determination of a compliance date until our next meeting on September 4, 2013, so that you can get together with whatever attorneys, friends, neighbors, whoever it may be, that you can research what your alternatives are. And then on September 4th of 2013, you're either going to tell me you're going to remove this thing, or you're going to tell me we choose to go pursue such and such, and this is how much time it's going to take.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Kelcher, the meeting date is September 10th.
I'm sorry, September 10th. I'm
looking September 10th?
September 10th is the meeting.
Okay.
So how does that sound?
Can I ask a question? Is putting a fence up a remedy?
You're asking the wrong person. You need to talk to the city.
Okay.
And the city will of course give you their perspective. And then if you have any questions or doubts about that, then you consult council.
Okay. Who is the city?
That gentleman.
You,
okay.
Okay.
And I'm sure he'll be happy to answer all your questions. If you don't like your answers, then go consult somebody else.
Okay.
But. Anyway, so whatever, I don't know what options are available out there, but in any event, we're giving you till September 10th to figure it out.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you. All right, we already handled case number 14, so we go to case number 15, Harborside Sunsets Condominium Association Incorporated. Yes, ma'am. If you would please step up and give us your name and be sworn.
Yes, good morning. My name is Isabel Valencia. Valencia.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and you are here on behalf of Harborside Sunsets Condominium Association Incorporated?
Yes, Your Honor.
And your affiliation with them is what?
I'm the property manager for the Condominium Association.
Very good. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. City, how much time? Then I will find the respondent in noncompliance. Hang on one second.
That's fine. We're bringing this as a repeat violation, so it's on for imposition of fine. But we would need the finding of noncompliance.
Okay. Well, I found noncompliance. All right, and you're telling me there was a will fund entered on December 12, 2012, when we had a similar such occurrence, I presume.
May I say something?
In a second.
Okay.
Yes, that's what we're saying, and I'd like Mr. Newell, who is the fire inspector, to speak to that history.
Go right ahead.
Good morning, sir. This property is a three-story apartment complex that houses about 45 units, I believe. Last year, we had several problems with the fire alarm system in this property. It is being done, or the damage is being done by tenants that are housed at this property.
Damage to what?
Fire alarm system. Basically what they have done is they would, I don't know if the alarms would go off, so they would in turn go to the fire alarm system, the panel, shut the panel down. In one instance, specifically of this instance, they even pulled a breaker lock that is
installed.
A tenant. I can't speak to whom of that did that.
Any number of tenants have access to this panel?
What had done in the past, that it had been pried open. There's evidence of the that it was pried open.
So hold it. Let me understand this. So the owner's panel is being vandalized so tenants can gain access and shut the fire alarm system down?
The vandalism's coming from, the best of my knowledge, the tenants that are there, because the owners do not live in this area. We've had numerous, prior to the finding of noncompliance and the will fine that was established in December, there was many a times that this had occurred. We had went out there. They had been fined, cited. Since then, we have been there on, which was the 6/12 date, which we found this again, and I witnessed that. Since that date, we've had three instances where we went back there where similar issues have occurred. They weren't necessarily turned off, meaning the fire alarm system power was disconnected, or the breaker was turned off, so therefore it shut the fire alarm system down, which in turn shut down the actual strobes that would be utilized, the pull stations in the event of a fire. So if something were to happen, the smoke detector goes off, they would go outside, pull the pull station. It would alert us because it's an automatic system to where it automatically reports to us through a central monitoring company. So speaking more about that breaker, prior to the 6/12 instance, the fire alarm contractor, which is WSA Systems, they installed a breaker lock on there to deter that from happening. However, somebody found a way to pull that breaker lock off and shut down the system.
Ms. Fakeld, if I can ask Mr. New two things. One, have you advised the owner or manager of the property ways that you felt that they could remedy this problem? Have you in the past, and have you seen the problem being remedied? And if I can just, well, and I'll leave that question for you.
Prior to the 6/12 incident, we had numerous issues that took a little while for compliance, meaning they would get it, they would get the system back on. However, there was many issues with the system. It's been made aware to me now that new, even though it's still Sunset COA, that there are some new people that took over in May as far as the owners. This is a new property manager that I dealt with last time. I can attest to when this occurred, in speaking with this young lady right here, she did get it remedied within 12-hour period by calling the contractor, having them come out there and remedying the situation immediately right at that point. But this is a continuous issue. One thing that we're looking for the imposition of a fine is a $3,000 fine. In the event that I have spoken to her about this system is in the laundry room, so anybody has access to it. What I've spoken to her about is to build a wall which is easily accessible between the laundry room and where their meters are for the FP&L, to erect a wall, have all of that moved into that room behind lock and key and provide that lock and key to the fire department and put into a Knox box system, which is already located on the property, so we have access in the event that the alarm system were to go off. And if that was the case, if that was they were to move all of that fire alarm system panel into that other room, erect a drywall, erect a wall, and secure that door, then I'm fine with reducing the fine to $1,000 a day because I know the expense with moving that system is going to be.
$1,000.
$1,000 one time. Excuse me, $1,000 fine. Am I explaining that correctly? Sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Vakalja, that's a large fine, but this property, when it went before the code board previously, the whole system was down. It took quite a bit of time for it to get repaired, and quite a bit of time before there was a satisfaction that there was. Life safety satisfaction to all of the residents. It's been recognized, it's been expressed, the importance of making sure that that fire alarm system, and it doesn't need to be said, but that the fire alarm system for a facility the size that they have, residential units, that fire alarm system be active, continuously maintained, secured. And for that reason, just because it's such a major concern and a major issue, we believe that the fine for a commercial business not having that would be reasonable. It would be reasonable at the $3,000. Obviously, if they take the remedies, $1,000 would be far more comfortable, I would think.
In the pictures you're seeing up here are the pictures of the date that I was called out there on 6/12. I was brought out there by the engine company that was there when it was noticed. So that's how I initially got out there on the 12th.
Well, this is interesting. All right, what say the respondent?
As he said, we recently became involved in this property. There's a prior history of them not complying with the requirements that the fire department has imposed. It seems unjust that the new owners and the association, although it didn't change names, nobody from the previous management or from the previous owners is involved now. So there was no way for us to know that there were issues and that we needed to correct them right away. I have Mr. Newell has called me, and I have complied with everything that he has requested on the 12th of June, and afterwards we've spoken on the phone, and anything that he has requested, I've complied with. I've tried to keep everything under control as much as possible. Last week we had an incident of somebody disconnecting a sounder within a unit. I went ahead and called the owner. The owner wasn't home. He was working. We had keys to the unit. I had somebody from the property let the WSI systems in so that they could reconnect the sounder, and the system was back up and running within a couple of hours. I have proof of the new ownership if you would like to see that. I already requested a proposal for the wall to be built and for WSI systems to remove the panels from where they are now and put them where Mr. Newell's requesting us to place them. So that's all I have to say.
So you're awaiting that estimate?
WSI systems already sent me a quote.
So but how much is it going to cost to do the improvements at the fire?
It's about $895, close to $900. Close to $900 for them to move the panels, and then we have to have a contractor build the wall. Because they only move, obviously, their fire alarm systems. They don't deal with construction or...
So you're prepared to make the improvements that they're suggesting?
Yes.
And how much time would it take to do that? Do you have any idea?
I will say 30 days at the most. I'm going to meet with Mr. Newell on site today. We already spoke about it, so that he can show me exactly where he needs the wall to be built, so that I can bring out a contractor and explain to him and get a quote for that part of it. WSI Systems already provided a quote for the panel relocation.
All right, she's suggesting that within 30 days she could have these improvements that you're recommending done. Does anyone from the city have an opinion as far as the amount of time required to do this? Because apparently, I guess this is an alternative that's being proposed by the respondent. So,
yeah, I believe 30 days would. Again, this is a wall that's probably no further than from me to you, sir. So all they would need to do.
That'll secure all these appliances, facilities, and what have you to keep the tenants from doing any self-help.
Yes, it would. It would make it a single. It would make it a basically a closet, an oversized closet, with the door that would have a lock on it installed to where we would basically, they would have access also as the property owners, but we would have access also to be able to get in there in the event that the fire alarm were to go out to go off, so we could remedy the situation or find out where the problem would be.
And you're prepared to make these improvements?
Yes.
So you're prepared to stipulate to that right now?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's the purpose of the fine, then, if they're going to go ahead and make the improvements other than incentive?
I'm sorry, sir?
What's the purpose of the fine if they're going to incur, if they're going to pay for these improvements, what's the purpose of the fine other than to incentivize them to get it done?
Just it was for the fine for the occurrence that has occurred from the last time the will fine was imposed, or the last time the will fine order was set.
But what prompted that was, from what your investigation revealed, was some tenant basically breaking his way into this panel?
That's what it's been through the entire time over the last, I would say, year and a half. The previous owners and property managers were all based out of Miami and Coral Gables. So I had numerous conversations with them also. So that this has been an ongoing history of this issue. And it again, I haven't been there, but the appearance and belief that it's always been a tenant. I never saw that, but with knowing the property managers not being there, and not, they really never had a manager on site for the most part. They had a maintenance person from time to time, but none of them had keys. Not that you can see it in that picture, but what they were doing from time to time, they drilled a hole. There's a on the fire alarm panel, I don't know if you can see it or not, there's a little glass, plexiglass piece on the front of it. What they did is they drilled a hole in there at one point, and they were using a wire to hit the silence button, which remedied the problem for a little while, but that still did not fix the problem. So, can you stop that one there, John? If you look on the top left, where right there where he's got that, that's the plexiglass piece where that hole was drilled in. Now, to the right of that, John, that's the actual panel where you would hit reset, silence, code, history, and all that kind of stuff. So they had put a coat hanger through there, obviously straightened out, to be able to hit the silence button. That's why it's believed prior to this incident. There was no damage to the panel prior to this instance, and there was obviously evidence of the prying of the panel on this incident that occurred on 6/12.
We're also not renewing some of the contracts with the tenants that we're suspecting are causing the vandalism, that are doing the vandalism. So there is no certainty as to who did it, but we think we've heard some names, so we're trying not to renew their contracts so that as their contracts expire, these people move out. And because it's costing us money every time we have to call the fire alarm system to come out and replace batteries. Last time they stole the batteries, and those batteries are not cheap. They took the breaker. It was like over $400 in repairs that we had to do as a result of the vandalism cost on 6/12. So it's not good to have those people in the community. I don't know why the previous owners didn't do anything about it if they've had issues with this people all along.
Okay. And so you're anticipating it would take 30 days to do the necessary improvements?
I will say less than that, but 30 days at the most.
All right. And how long has your group now owned this facility?
They purchased the property May 3rd, 2013.
And this event that triggered all this occurred on June 12th?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, although the city's well within its rights to do so, I really hate penalizing the people that are actually stepping up and trying to fix things. So, I'm not going to do it. Therefore, I'll give you your 30 days, and at the end of that 30 days, I'm not even sure what's supposed to be done, but it's whatever this gentleman wants done, mm-hmm. as far as moving equipment and creating walls, doors, barriers, secured rooms, whatever it may be. I'll let you and he figure that out. So why don't we do this? I don't know procedurally exactly what I'm doing here. I guess I'm giving the respondent until September 13th, whatever day that may be.
Mr. Kelch, if I can just aid, as far as from the perspective of compliance and noncompliance and the time to come into compliance, it's still the same as our regular process. The only thing that really changes is that we could fine her now for the PASS Act, and the maximum fine now could be up to $5,000 per day for all.
Well, as I understand the options, we could fine her $3,000 and she could do nothing, and we could be doing this again.
Well, we
could be fining her $1,000 and asking her to come up, step up, and do this work. She's volunteered to do the work. The new owners have only been there for, I guess, 5 to 6 weeks at the most before this event occurred. And it's, while they are responsible for the property, and I understand it, it's still apparently a rogue tenant or two that's wreaking havoc. I'm trying to get the work done, so I guess the point is, when is September 13th?
September 13th is a Friday.
Okay. And I'm going to order by September 13th, the respondent is to come into compliance pursuant to the stipulation of the respondent. The respondent is going to come into compliance by making whatever improvements are necessary, or making those improvements that we've discussed here today. And would you just describe generally for me what the nature of the work that you're expecting to be done?
Yes, we want a wall put between the laundry room and where this new closet's going to be, drywalled all the way to the ceiling, the door that's currently there, install a lock that is it's provided to us, and then move the entire what is you see here, the fire alarm control panel along with the snack panel is what it's called to the right, into that room for security purposes. She will have to take the window that's in that laundry room and make a door out of that window, or make a door for where the window is, so the tenants have access to the laundry room. That's the easiest way for them to create the other opening for the laundry room and to secure this fire alarm control panel.
You understand that?
Yes, this had been explained to me by the maintenance guy that actually met personally with Mr. Newell, but his English is limited somewhat, so I wanted to meet with him personally, and over the phone I told him I will meet with him and he can show me exactly what needs to be done, but I more or less get the idea.
All right, so you understand and you're in agreement?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you know what? I'm wreaking havoc here with our deadlines and cutoff dates here. Okay, she's estimating she can have this done within 30 days. Is that a realistic? I mean, I'm assuming there are permits to be obtained.
Yes.
So is 30 days realistic?
Yes. I can ensure her that when the permits are pulled, I can do a quick turnaround on that within a day because it's very simple.
Okay. All right.
We could do September 10th as our meeting day.
If we could do that, that would be better. So in the event something were not to be done, we could address it at the next meeting.
If possible, sir. I'm fine with it, too.
September 10th?
Yes.
I know she will.
I'm okay with it.
All right. And I will go ahead and...
Would wording it like relocate the entire fire alarm system to a enclosed wall with a locked door be... simple enough to put in an order or explain enough
access to the fire.
I would Probably best not the whole fire alarm system. I would use the fire alarm control panel. And battery backup, you can put in quotes, snack panel is what it's technically called. Snack. S-N-A-K, I believe is how it's spelled.
Into an enclosed room.
Into an enclosed room.
An enclosed, secured room.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was just trying to reduce the
amount of verbiage.
All right, then I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by making those improvements by September 10, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for...
10.
I'm sorry?
Did you say September 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
September 10, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Actually, up to $5,000.
Up to $5,000 per day thereafter. Okay?
Understood.
All right,
Thank you.
Luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, case number 16, Ocean Walk Shops, LLC, is in compliance. Case number 17, JNC Solomon Enterprises, Inc., DBA A&A Market in Delhi. Anyone here for the respondent?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ashraf Jundi.
One more time.
A-S-H-R-A-F. Jundi, J-U-N-D-I. First of all, it's...
Oh, just a second, sir. Can you spell your first name for me again one more time? I'm sorry.
A-S-H-R-A-F.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Jundi, you, what is your affiliation with JNC Solomon Enterprises?
It's no more JNC Solomon. There is no more JNC Solomon. We took over the business. We bought the business from them. Yeah. We are now Jundi Group LLC as a Daytona Beach Market in Delhi.
Okay, so, Tony, where are we on this?
When did the ownership change?
September. So we've been 2 years. We're going to be 2 years by September.
Okay. Well, it's not on the property appraiser's website. Well, we were just asked to amend to show the respondent as... the name that was just given.
Jundi Group LLC, doing business as Daytona Beach
Market
in
Delhi. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then I'll go ahead and amend the. I'll go ahead and amend to add that entity as the respondent. Mr. Jundi is here on its behalf. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, and that's the first time somebody like tell me that's a violation.
Okay.
Because I called the old owners and he told me he never have a problem. But I've been, since the day he came and he gave me the violations, I start the same day working on it.
Hang on a second, you're getting way ahead of us. All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Okay, sounds like you've already gotten started on it. Let me ask the city, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
30 days.
Everybody says 30 days around here. One of these days I'm going to train you people.
Next cutoff.
Next cutoff is September 4, 2013, so I guess that's about 21 days down the road. No, yeah, 21 days down the road. Okay. All right. You say you've already gotten started on the work. The fire inspector seems to think you ought to be able to have this work done by September 4th. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
That's good.
Okay, very good. And I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 4, 2013. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. Stay in touch with this gentleman and make sure you contact him for your final inspection.
Okay.
Do you have a mailing address or did you get...
The same mailing address, 645 North Atlantic Avenue.
Okay, so that's over the paperwork?
That's because that's the letter you sent, I never received it.
Yeah, I have to go off the property appraiser site, and that's where the JNC came.
Are you the new business owner, or are you the land owner?
I'm the business owner.
That's why.
But the letters,
the
one you sent me, the owners of the property received it. And they just called me like 3 days ago. They told me you have a violation.
Okay, who owns the property?
It's a bunch of lawyers. It's a whole mess. I don't know who owns it, but we've been paying. It's a lawyer took over the business, the whole property, and we've been paying them the rents.
What is this property? What's that 645 North Atlantic?
That's the gas stations. That's our business. Okay. We bought the business from the
old. It's a gas station and convenience
store?
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good.
Okay. So if I send mail to you at 645 North Atlantic,
yes,
get it.
That's
okay.
Our mailing address.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 18, Marston 46 LLC. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
This is the property at 732 North Halifax Avenue. It's before you for finding a compliance and noncompliance. Again, these are fire alarm issues issues related to a fire inspection. The inspector is David Newell. The property is currently in noncompliance, and he's asking for the next cutoff. I don't know if there's anything else. I will ask Mr. Newell if there's anything else that he wants to tell you.
Is that covered?
Yep, that covers it, unless you want to know what the violations were.
Sure.
Violations are the obtain a city license. The fire alarm system was not inspected within the last year as required. The system is not monitored as required. This is a five-story apartment complex. It's probably got probably 20 units because it's four per floor. There's panic hardware that is not self-latching on each floor for the stairwells, which is required, along with the stairwell doors are always propped open and required to be closed. Some handrails that are missing in the north and south stairwells. They also have audiovisual devices for the fire alarm system that are not listed for that use. And what I mean by that is they're on the ceiling, which is fine, but they are they're ones that are designed and listed for sidewalls, not for the ceiling. And then the pull stations that are there are on a recall. I've spoke to the owner about that. I have spoken with the owners on this. They have started some work. They are renovating the entire place, as noticed, as far as all the units themselves. So that's where we're at with those violations on this property.
And it should be able to come into compliance by September 4th?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 4, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Finally, case number 19, Ian Ramsbottom Revocable Trust. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
This is an apartment complex, 12, 14 units. They basically don't have a city license. They have corrected all the other violations that I had upon inspection. The city license is the last thing left to go. I did speak to the owner a couple times. He was unaware he had a city license, and as of yesterday, the city license still has not been issued. Looking for next cutoff for compliance.
Okay. And what is the penalty for not obtaining the city license by the cutoff date that we give
them? I believe it's in the $250 for administrative fee. I don't know. I'm not 100%.
Business tax receipt. Business tax receipt as well.
So it's the $250 administrative fee?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by September 4, 2013, or be fined the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain the appropriate license. Does that cover it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That concludes our regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Yes.
Very good.
Just a brief conversation. I think we kind of show what we're doing here with Will Found. We kind of started thinking about and we were talking out loud the thought that we And you're historic, so you've been here. You know the history. I kind of believe that the idea of the Will Fund was really centered on when we brought properties for the first time before the code board or the magistrate for the necessity for there to be a finding of compliance and then a non-compliance so that it would activate this repeat violation aspect of the statute. And we kind of moved it further into asking for it even when a finding of compliance has already been made. And there was no real necessity because by statute, it's a statutory event. So anytime that a compliance is made, the repeat violation is a part of what comes with the fact that a finding of non-compliance has been made. What comes with that is ultimately someone being affected with the repeat violation as part of statute if they are found in violation in any time subsequent. The only issue we have is to struggle with making sure we say 5,000 versus 1,000 for the max. But other than that, so we kind of decided what we wanted to do as a staff was back away from, and I know historically there was some comfort in being able to have the Will Fund because it kind of triggered a reminder of how significant some things were. But as a staff, we took the perspective that if we acknowledge that a Will Fund or at least a finding needs to be made on certain cases. Other cases, we just announce like we've always have done. But those where we believe what will be what the Will Fund as we've known it, we would just ask for a finding of noncompliance so that we would have the effect of a repeat violation in the future. So that's really what's changed from our perspective. And we wouldn't do like we've done in a few cases where we've come after the fact, after finding of compliance, after we've gone through the 30 days and said, now we want a Will Fund. Well, we're really asking for something that's already statutory, and we didn't know why. Quite honestly, we asked, why were we asking for that? And we looked and we said, well, I don't know. The statute says it's there. So that's...
So going forward, this means what?
Going forward, we probably will training staffs to not... ask for Will Fund, although it's no crime in using the term, but we will probably not be asking for Will Funds or asking for this special finding except on the front end of a case. There's no necessity for it after that, after the case is already, after the finding has already been made. So, as I said before, those that we have where we would typically just list as being in compliance, which has no effect. If it's a case where we believe we have the concern of the future, we would ask that for a finding of noncompliance, and then we go from there.
And noncompliance, and we are creating a separate order that has that language. And it's basically noncompliance, compliance, and just so you know, if you do this again, you're subject to repeat.
Because you've been found in noncompliance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So every order is automatically going to carry with it the potential for a Will Fund somewhere down the road for a repeat occurrence.
Right, which is what the statute says. Yeah, any violation is subject to, that's the definition of a repeat violation, is any prior violation within a five-year period. So we'd have to show, if there's a point of showing, we'd have to show that the prior event was within the last 5 years. And it's for any finding of violation in, if I remember right, in any venue.
If the person.
Yeah, it goes with the.
It stays with the person.
So what you probably ought to do is just modify the standard spiel to just add, you know, you're found in noncompliance, you're given such and such to come into compliance, failing that, be returned for a fine of up to whatever, whatever, and for any repeat violations in the future, you could be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Yeah.
And tack that little trailer, if you will, onto every order, including the ones, okay, we found you in noncompliance, but now a determination has been made that you've subsequently come into compliance. All right, so as to as to this matter, it's concluded, but be advised, but for every future violation, you could be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Agree. Just need gifted orders to get it out. But okay. That's exactly it.
Just bang on my head and remind me to start adding that to the end of every order.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
That it?
That's everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're done?
You already met, right? Did you meet Mr. McKelter? Okay, well, that's
we'll adjourn everybody else.